Here's a number for you. 2,000. That's right, 2,000 U.S. newspapers have gone out of business. It's the Business News Hour for Tuesday, the 23rd day of July. Thanks, as always, for being with us. Harley Davidson reported earnings today. One word, ouch. Coca-Cola is winning because you seem to be buying. More bad news for U.S. malls. Millions of people are turning to a $25 phone, which isn't really a phone at all. Ford is expanding jobs in Chicago. Those stories and more. Plus, four questions for 2020 Democratic hopeful Andrew Yang, where we also get to talk about jobs. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about newspapers. Here's a number that will perhaps shock and surprise you. New research shows that over 2,000 newspapers have closed since 2004. That's a staggering number, given the industry was once among the largest employers in all of America. Penny Abernathy is the Knight Chair in Journalism and Digital Media Economics at the University of North Carolina, and she's widely considered the preeminent authority on the number of newspapers in the United States. She says the newspaper industry implosion has left almost half of the counties in America, and by the way, there are over 1,400 of them, with only one newspaper, which is usually a weekly. As of the most recent count, 171 counties in the United States don't have a paper at all. The number of papers in America is currently about 7,000, but as revenue at most of them declines, that number is bound to shrink further. Some newspapers already are close to shuttering. Publishers, both individual owners and chains, have resorted to the equivalent of life support. A recent example is the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, which was started 233 years ago, will cut the number of days it's printed from 5 to 3. Now, while the paper may survive online, the downsizing will cost dozens of jobs. A drop in the number of days a paper appears is part of the industry's playbook to cut expenses. Now, no one in the newspaper business has come up with a solution to the industry's falling revenue. Very few newspapers continue to flourish. Among those that are doing well is the New York Times. Well over 3 million people pay for digital versions of the paper and its other products. Management there has set a goal to reach 10 million paid subscribers by 2025. The Times, however, can't afford a newsroom large enough to create a product that's unequaled anywhere else in the United States. The editorial staff of the paper is over 1,200 people. While the Times flourishes, only one other U.S. paper, leaving aside the Wall Street Journal, has done well. The Washington Post, owned by Amazon.com founder and CEO Jeff Bezos, is said to be profitable and growing. That makes the list of highly successful papers financially in the United States as a club of 2. And the troubles? Well, there are many. Print advertising has been eroding for nearly 2 decades. Classified advertising has moved almost entirely online. Digital advertising growth at most newspapers has slowed. The digital advertising business in general is difficult. Why? Well, because of the large market share held by Google and Facebook. Papers also have difficulty convincing readers to pay for digital subscriptions. There's 2 reasons for that. The first is that most newspapers have cut so many editorial employees they can't create compelling content. The other is there is a massive amount of news, entertainment, and sports material available online for free. But here's the question that begs to be answered. What happens when the bastion of free speech and public conversation goes away? Well, the future of Harley Davidson continues to be in question. Bloomberg is reporting the iconic motorcycle manufacturer cut its full-year operating margin outlook and global bike shipment forecast. Weak worldwide sales and the impact of tariffs have dented the second quarter earnings, and that prompted the Milwaukee-based manufacturer to slash its shipment forecast this year by at least 5,000 units. Harley was caught in the crossfire of trade disputes last year when it announced plans to shift some U.S. production overseas to sidestep higher tariffs imposed by the European Union. Now, that move earned the wrath of President Trump, who blasted off angry tweets criticizing the manufacturer and even hinted at inciting a boycott. The EU imposed a 31% tax on U.S.-built motorcycles in retaliation for the president's steel and aluminum levies. Less sugar, more caffeine. It seems to be the recipe for success, at least over at Coca-Cola. The world's largest drink company posted second quarter earnings of $2.6 billion, or 61 cents. Earnings adjusted for one-time gains and costs came to 63 cents a share, which is a penny better than was expected. Coca-Cola revenue, that was pegged at $10 billion, which also beat expectations. Coke said its first energy drink, Coca-Cola Energy, launched in Europe during the quarter, also saw some sales success. The company plans to expand sales of the new product to 20 markets by the end of the year. Also, Coke's acquisition of British coffee shop chain Costa Coffee seems to be paying off. New drinks like Coca-Cola Plus Coffee and chilled low-sugar Costa Coffee beverages saw growth in the April through June period. So, drink up. In what has become the constant drumbeat that's shaking the malls in the United States comes word that nutrition retailer GNC will close up to 900 stores and slash its presence in malls by half. CEO Ken Martindale told investors that the company plans to close roughly 900 locations by the end of next year. According to Martindale, mall traffic has decelerated and is not showing any signs of rebounding. While the company is looking at some strategies to bring in traffic, the biggest solution is going to be moving out of malls as their leases run out. Currently, mall locations make up about 28% of GNC's stores. So far this year, retailers have announced the closure of over 7,500 stores, with more on the way. Well, it seems the next billion users of a new smartphone are going to be getting it for under $30 a piece. Millions of first-time internet consumers from the Ivory Coast to India and Indonesia are connecting to the web on a new breed of device that costs only about $25. The gadgets look like the inexpensive Nokia phones that were a big hit about 20 years ago, but these hybrid phones, fueled by inexpensive mobile data, provide some basic apps and internet access in addition to calling and texting. Smart feature phones, that's what they're known as, are one of the mobile phone industry's fastest growing and least known segments, providing a simple way for some in the world's poorest people to enter the internet economy. Some 84 million of these phones are expected to be shipped this year. Smart feature phones aren't only inexpensive, they also have physical keypads that seem to be less intimidating than touchscreens for those new to the technology. Meanwhile, their batteries last for days. That's a bonus in places where electricity is unreliable. There is a trade-off for the low price. The devices typically have slower and less powerful components, only basic cameras, and their screens are usually just a few inches in size, factors that contribute to their longer battery life. Now you know. Well, Google is shelling out $11 million to end a lawsuit that accused the search giant of discriminating against older job seekers. The Alphabet-owned company has also agreed to train managers on age bias, form a committee focused on age diversity, and investigate age bias complaints. Google was accused of engaging in a systematic pattern or practice of discrimination against job applicants who were age 40 and over. One of the lead plaintiffs on the case said that she interviewed with Google four times but was never offered a position despite her qualifications, she says, because of her age. Google denies any age-based discrimination but paid out the $11 million to end the case. After lawyer fees, the settlement reportedly works out to be about $35,000 each for the 227 people who joined the class action. The agreement is subject to court approval. And one more bit of business news for you. You might not have heard about this, but the California wine industry is getting pushed out of China. In the tit-for-tat trade war between the United States and China, the Beijing government imposed a 93% tax on wine imported from California, essentially ending Chinese distribution. California vintners, large and small, who have spent years building relationships with China are now seeing their work undone by the tariff dispute. Their travails illustrate the far-reaching effects of President Trump's trade war, where carefully laid business plans from fishing rod suppliers to soybean farmers can turn on the latest headline, meeting, or even the latest tweet. Stay with us. Coming up next, a conversation with 2020 presidential hopeful Andrew Yang. We'll talk about automation, job loss, and small business. Four questions for Andrew Yang, and that is coming up next.